Уважаемые коллеги, дамы и господа,
distinguished colleagues, ladies and gentlemen, the Middle East is undergoing a deep transformation, which is evolving in a very controversial way. More than ever before, we need to improve relations among states in the region, stabilize in the areas of conflict, and increase efforts to politically and diplomatically resolve them whilst basing themselves on the UN Charter principles. Our position on this is explained in the recently adopted by President Putin the concept of the foreign policy of Russia. Our priority is that on the Near East is to have a sustainable, comprehensive architecture for stability and cooperation, advancing interreligious and intercultural dialogue. We intend to develop active interaction with all countries in the region, both bilaterally and also through our contacts with the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, the League of Arab States, the Gulf Cooperation Council. We can see that there is a growing interest to the Russian initiative, which is aimed at ensuring collective security with the participation of all coastal states, both Arab states and Iran, also involving in this the outer circle of influential states. We welcome the positive changes, which even recently seemed difficult to accomplish, and I'm referring to, first and foremost, the restored relations between Saudi Arabia and Iran with the mediation by the People's Republic of China, and the advanced plans to return Syria into the Arab family. This is something that we've been working for a long time, and something that was started with Russian cooperation, namely the normalization between Damascus and Ankara, using the benefits provided by the Astana format. To a large extent, thanks to the initiatives from Al Riyadh, we are seeing steps to help speed up the settlement of the conflict in Yemen. At the same time, we note that what remained outside of these positive changes is the Palestinian issue. When we initiated this meeting today, our goal was to raise the attention paid to the unprecedented growth of tension and violence in the area of Arab-Israeli conflict. We think now, more than ever, it is important to reiterate the common denominators for the Middle East settlement that we have in the Council and in General Assembly decision, stop the threat of yet another spiral of armed hostilities, and provide for a political horizon for a resumed peace process. The events in the West Bank, in the Gaza Strip, in the East Jerusalem, and in the separation line between Israel, Lebanon, and Syria has increased the tension to a very dangerous level. Since the beginning of the year, as a result of military raids into Jenin, Jericho, Nablus, Huwar, clashes having to do with the violation of the status of the holy sites, as a result of that, more than 100 Palestinians perished, and there are thousands of wounded, and the number of Israeli victims is also growing, and this is something that the representative of that country has just talked about. This situation is also compounded by the Israeli strikes against Syria. This year, there already have been at least 10 such strikes, including the shelling of the Aleppo airport. This is the airport through which humanitarian assistance is being provided to those who are impacted by the destructive earthquake on the 6th of February. There is a growing number of incidents on the Blue Line with Lebanon, including the largest since 2006 in exchange of rocket strikes. The main reason for the regular outbursts of violence between the Palestinians and Israel remain the unilateral steps to create reversible facts on the ground and using force in order to protect such facts. We cannot go over in silence over the high pace of the building of settlements and outposts, land expropriation, demolition of houses, and random arrests. It is also not possible to close our eyes to growing radicalization of the Palestinian street and the growing rift between main Palestinian parties. This is fraught with a violent confrontation. Under these conditions, we, of course, think it's important to remove and prevent the symptoms of the worsening situation. But the absolute imperative for us here is to make sure that all leading players reaffirm that the two-state solution has no alternative, as it will meet the rights of Palestinians to have their own independent state with East Jerusalem as capital, and the right of Israelis to have a peaceful and safe coexistence with their neighbors and in the region as a whole. It is only through returning to direct negotiations on all final status issues it will be possible to break the cycle, the vicious cycle of violence and radicalization and restore trust. But instead of trying to restore the political horizon, the United States and the European Union continue destructive attempts to replace real peace with some economic half measures and to advance Arab-Israeli normalization in circumvention of the fair resolution of the Palestinian issue and circumvention of the Arab Peace Initiative. The Middle East quartet of international mediators has fallen victim to that. Washington is now claiming the role of a single sponsor of the Middle East settlement process. It is not deterred by the fact that it has long ago lost the features necessary for an honest broker, namely neutrality and impartiality, all the more so since the decision made by the Trump administration, which run directly counter to Security Council resolutions, and which the Biden administration did not go back on. The non-implementation of Security Council resolutions, not just on the Middle East issues, is something that needs to be especially mentioned, and because of the following. Fairly recently, the United States and allies made their utmost to make sure that every time there is a veto used in Security Council, the topic is brought into the General Assembly for discussion. We didn't object to that, even though we saw that this was targeted openly against Russia, but we have nothing to hide. When we use a veto, we very clearly explain why, and we can certainly very easily repeat such arguments in the General Assembly. But the thing here is this. A veto is an inalienable right, part and parcel of the mechanisms we have enshrined in the UN Charter. There is no violation of the Charter when a veto is being used. On the other hand, not complying with the past Security Council resolutions is a violation of the Charter. I think Article 25, which requires that everyone implement Security Council resolutions. Perhaps it's time for those who bear these past resolutions to report to the General Assembly, to explain themselves to the General Assembly. Among such resolutions, there are decisions on Palestine, on the Golan Heights, on Western Sahara, on the Kosovo settlement, on the Iran nuclear program, and, of course, on the Minsk agreements regarding Ukraine. And this is something that we talked about in detail yesterday. Americans and Europeans are using the Ukrainian topic so as to use blackmail threats and bring over countries to their side and distract their attention from the Middle East and other regions of the global south. So to say, we are going to be victorious over Russia any moment now, and then everything will resolve itself. This way, the crises who developing countries are trying to resolve are falling victim to double standards and the colonial instincts of the West, who are trying to dictate to the world in time what their requirements are, to ignore culture and the traditions of other of peoples, and thus offending international law. I would like to quote here with your permission, an excerpt from Anthony Blinken, Secretary of State's interview to CNN's Wolf Blitzer on the 8th of April, 2022.
Answering a question about the Golan Heights, Secretary Blinken said, I quote, "Look, leaving aside the legalities of that question, as a practical matter, the Golan is very important to Israel's security, as long as Assad is in power in Syria, as long as Iran is present in Syria, militia groups backed by Iran, the Assad regime itself, all of these pose a significant security threat to Israel, and as a practical matter, the control of the Golan in that situation, I think, remains of real importance to Israel's security. Legal questions are something else."
I am not making value judgments here. I just simply quoted the statement made by Tony Blinken, who stated twice, leaving aside the legalities and legal questions are something else. So there you have an example of how resolutions are being implemented and how people position themselves within the UN. I think under these conditions, the role of the UN as a coordinator of multilateral diplomacy is particularly relevant, and we call the leadership of the Secretariat and the Secretary General himself to pay close attention to making sure that Security Council resolutions are implemented, especially those which have to do with the Middle East settlement, and to discharge his responsibilities. This is for the Secretary General, asking him to be more active as a moderator of the quartet without waiting for a permission to be given to him. Recently, the Secretary General decided to have an initiative to have a meeting on Afghanistan in the beginning of May. We support that. But why not have a similar initiative and also convene a meeting of the quartet? That's his prerogative. At the same time, of course, we call upon the Israelis and the Palestinians to stop all unilateral actions which can threaten the possibility of implementing the two-state solution. And this includes terror and other armed attacks, incitement to aggression, disproportionate use of force by any side, unlawful actions having to do with settlements, and of course any attempt to change the status quo of Jerusalem. The Palestinian movements is something that for them will wish to rise above their ambitions and come together on the basis of a PLO political platform. This will help them improve the socioeconomic situation, improve their institutions, and enter into dialogue with Israel on behalf of the entire Palestinian people. And we do know that in this direction, friends from Egypt, Jordan, and Algeria are also working. We're also undertaking efforts here in order to restore Palestinian unity, and we'll continue doing that. And I would like to here especially point out the role played by Saudi Arabia as the sponsor, the author of the Arab Peace Initiative, and Jordan as a custodian of the holy sites in Jerusalem, and the role of the League of Arab States, the Organization for Islamic Cooperation. And of course, we pay special attention to the need to do everything to make sure that the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees in the Near East continues working effectively. Russia will continue contributing to the stabilization of the Middle East, doing its utmost for that in the Middle East and North Africa, to advance the Middle East settlement process together with other countries in the region and in coordination with other good faith mediators. As always, we are ready to discuss relevant initiatives as part of our collective work within the UN platform.